Good morning. It's good to be together. I'm Pastor Ron, one of the pastors here, and we are continuing our series through prayer. I know we've interrupted for missions conference. We'll interrupt for Easter next week, and I invite you to invite people to come to Easter. We'll be talking about the resurrection, and I know that's sort of the obvious thing to talk about on Easter, but looking through the account in Matthew and some of the evidences for the resurrection. And so next week's title is Risen, and there is an Easter breakfast right before, right? Anyone signed up for that yet? Be sure that you're signed up. Great place to invite people to come, and to your guests can come for free and eat some breakfast and worship our Lord and hear the gospel. And so it's a wonderful time to invite people. Also this Friday, as was mentioned, we're having our first Good Friday service. And so from 7 to 8 in the evening, we're going to worship and read the word and pray together. And the whole family's invited, and it'll be right in here in the worship center, and I encourage you to come. And I don't want to say celebrate Good Friday, but remember Good Friday and prepare to celebrate the resurrection on Sunday. This morning, we want to explore the question, does God answer prayer? And I read a story this week about English statesman William Gladstone, and he knew of a little girl in his neighborhood who believed strongly in the effectiveness of prayer. Her current concern, though, was a trap that her brother had made to catch birds. She was a bird lover. She prayed that God would frustrate her brother's designs and that he would be unsuccessful in his plan. She had shared this resolution with Gladstone and told him how hard she was praying. One day, upon encountering her, Gladstone observed a particular radiance to her countenance. He said to her, "Julia, you look so pleased. Are you still confident your prayers will be answered?" Julia smiled a knowing smile and retorted, "I know for sure that my prayers will be answered. Yesterday, I kicked my brother's trap to pieces." Think about it. Sometimes when it comes to answered prayer, we take matters into our own hands. Sometimes we're sure God will answer prayer. Sometimes we're not sure God will answer prayer. And in this case, she decided, I'm just going to break the trap apart, break it to pieces, and God will answer prayer through me. But the question of does God answer prayer is an interesting question, because all week I've wrestled with, this can either be the shortest sermon I've ever preached, or it can be one that we wrestle with in one of the longer ones, and I don't know if I can do it all in one week. Because when I ask, does God answer prayer, what is your answer? Yes, of course, right? So we're done. Have a good day. Go to lunch. But in my life, and I believe in yours, I think that's a question we struggle with at a deeper level than we realize. Because what do we do with unanswered prayer? What do we do with things that seem like they aren't good that happen? What do we do with things that we've prayed about our whole lives and haven't happened? And this morning is not going to answer all those questions, but we'll scratch the surface and just start to think about that. Because the more I put this together, and yeah, I have too many pages, so we're going to go fast. The more I realize just how challenging this subject is, if we're honest. If we're honest about it. See, we say God answers prayer, but I've also noticed in my life, I don't always act like I believe God answers prayer. Sometimes I take matters into my own hands. Sometimes I don't have that confidence that God's got this, because I still worry about it and I still take it back and I still cling to it. Sometimes we might ask the question, does prayer make a difference? God is sovereign. He has his plans. How will my prayer even move the needle at all? And so why pray? But this morning I would challenge us that our belief on whether God hears and answers, our deep belief, our true belief on whether God hears and answers, will directly relate to our desire to pray. So if we don't understand just how much God hears and how much God answers and the effectiveness of prayer, then what will come out in our lives is why pray. And it won't be a priority. It won't be something that is a passion. It will be difficult to do because we don't see the power of it. And I think in our world, we often struggle with that. Paul Miller, in his book on prayer, a wonderful book on prayer, said, "We have a vocabulary of prayer speak, including, I'll lift you up in prayer, and I'll remember you in prayer." I've said that many a time. "Many who use these phrases, including us, never get around to praying." Why? Because we don't think prayer makes a difference. And he goes on to talk about the power of prayer and the difference it makes. And so this morning we're going to wrestle with this, and we're going to look at a whole lot of verses. There's a number of times that I wanted to take verses out to shorten it, so we're out by noon. But I want us to feel the weight of Scripture today. The weight of Scripture that says God hears. The weight of Scripture that says God answers. And even if we don't explore every nuance of that today, and we still have a number of weeks left in the series, let Scripture speak to our hearts. One of the things at the beginning here, I think we have to define terms a little bit here. When we ask the question, does prayer work? Does God answer prayer? What are we really asking? We're really, if we're honest with ourselves, and I know some of these are generalisms, but if I'm honest with myself, when I'm saying, does God answer prayer, I'm really saying, is God going to answer the way I asked? Is God going to give me what I want, right? Because if he doesn't answer what I've asked, then I call that unanswered prayer. But I would challenge us today that whether God answers prayer or not is not whether God does what I want him to do, but whether or not God does what is best and what will bring him glory. And that is the answer of prayer. We think of answered prayer, and we need to be thinking, does God hear and answer according to his will and our ultimate good? If we're just basing it on whether he's done what we've asked, we're not looking for answers, we're looking for wish fulfillment. If we're looking for answers, then we'll accept whatever that answer is, even if it's not what we expect it to be. Make sense? If our answer is only what we want it to be, we haven't really asked. We've demanded. And so we want to say, does God hear? Does he answer according to his will? Does he answer according to our ultimate good, the ultimate good of his church, of the gospel? And so we come to prayer. And at the top of the notes, I put some of what we did the last two times together and some of the whys of prayer. Because again, when we think, does God answer prayer, we often are limiting it to the requests that we have. And that's just a small portion of prayer. And if we limit our idea of prayer to just what requests we have, we are missing the beauty of relationship. We are missing the beauty of how God intends prayer to form us and to press his heart onto ours. And so we start with the profound but simple questions. Does God answer prayer? Yes. Is God sovereign and his plans can't be thwarted? Yes. Are there things that won't happen if we don't pray? Yes. And these seem to be in contradiction to each other. There's a tension here. As we look at the question of divine sovereignty, God's kingship, which we celebrate on Palm Sunday, and human responsibility. If God is sovereign, why pray? Will he change his mind? But he commands us to pray. And he says he's chosen to use prayer as his means. And so we want to dig into several different passages. Just a key thought as we begin. God not only wills the end, but he also wills the means. And so when we're thinking of prayer, we're thinking the end. Is the result what I want? But God also wills the means. And we're going to explain that as we go a little bit. As some of it today will be a little bit more theological of how does this work. And some of it is just things that I think we need to remember and be reminded of because we know, but we don't put it to practice. And so the first point there is our Abba wants us to ask so he can answer. And this answers the question, does God want to hear from us? And as we're talking about, does God answer prayer? The first thing that I want to impress on us is he wants us to ask and he wants to answer. That is his desire. And the wording I use there, our Abba, is very intentional. Our daddy, our father. It's a very relational term for father. And as we saw in the Lord's Prayer, it starts with our Father and it starts with relationship. As we look at several places in the New Testament, it says that Jesus Christ purchased the way for us to be called children of God and to call God Abba Father. And so our Abba wants us to ask so he can answer. Turn with me to Matthew 7, 7 through 11. And again, I'm going to have you turn to some of the key passages, and the other 20 or 30 passages we'll put on the screen, but they're all in your notes that you can look up. But Matthew 7, 7 to 11 is just a key passage to begin our discussion of, does God answer prayer? Because it talks about him as a father. It talks about his desire to answer prayer. Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 11. And if you don't have a Bible with you, we invite you to take one of the black Bibles under a chair around you and keep that. Take that home so you have God's word. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, thank you, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I want to unpack several things out of this because there's a lot here as we dig in. The first is, like I said, he wants us to ask as his children so he can answer as our father. He wants us to ask as his children so he can answer as our father. Those of you with kids, your child comes to you, son or daughter. And you can tell that there's just something on their heart, something on their mind, and they're just bursting out. Do you want to hear it? Yeah. Yeah, I want to hear the desires of my children's heart. Sometimes I know we get too busy and we make the mistakes of pushing them aside, but deep down we want to hear from our kids. We want to hear what they want. At Christmas, we love to give good gifts and we love to see them happy about it rather than saying, oh, that stinks. No, because that is part of being a parent. That's part of being a father. And so here the passage starts, ask, seek, knock. Those are all imperatives in the original language. Those are all instructions. Do this. Ask of your father. Seek, knock, and he will answer. And so God hearing from his children is precious. See, one of the things that sometimes stops us from prayer is we think we're bothering God, or we think he's distant or far off. We have to be careful how we pray because we want to pray to him as Abba, as Father, and realize he wants to have that conversation with us. He wants to hear what's on our heart. James 4:2 says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And so God has said, ask. Ask what's on your heart. Now, there's some of you are already going, well, there's conditions, and how do we do this? And we'll get there. But that verse reminds us when we try on our own these things, when we try to answer prayer on our own, when we try to gain it on our own, it devolves so quickly. Murder, fights, quarreling. But when we look to God, he answers in beautiful ways. John 16:24 says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Now, there's a lot of things in all these verses. One here is we have to ask. In each of them, our asking is the condition for God's answer. And so God wants us to ask so he can answer and reveal his glory and reveal his goodness to us. I love in John 16:24, the one we just read, God also does it to give us joy. A father wants to give his kids joy. God wants to give us joy. So as we come to Does God Answer Prayer, first let's start by saying God wants to hear from us. He wants to answer our prayer. He wants to give us good things. It's about relationship, primarily. Jesus' example with the Father over and over reminds us of relationship as he talks to his Abba, as he talks to Father. He's not performing a duty when he prays. He's getting closer to his Father and sharing his heart with his Father. And God wants to know your heart, the good, the hard, the ugly. He wants to know your heart. And so 7 and 8, ask, seek, find. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be open to you. And then he goes into an example of that, using fathers and children. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Really, will you try to torture your child by giving him something that he doesn't need, something that's harmful for him, and withholding what he needs? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? Again, will you withhold sustenance and daily needs and give him something that's going to harm him and kill him? No. No. And Jesus here is appealing to what is part of God's image in us, that we want to give good gifts to our children. And that's what our Father in heaven wants to do for us. And so in verse 11, it says, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those that ask? And that's a key phrase there. Give good things to those he loves, to his children. He loves to give his children good gifts. Now, what does that preclude? What will he not give? Bad gifts. Now here's the key to this. Who gets to decide what's good and bad? Okay, see where I'm going with the passage? He's the giver. He's the Father of lights. He gets to decide what's good or bad because he has all knowledge. He knows what is harmful and what is not. When we ask, we are seeing this little bitty section of our lives and saying, this is what's good for me. But God loves to give his children truly good gifts. He enjoys pouring those blessings out, but we have to define good as God's view. It's not what I want, but it's what is ultimately good. One of the ways I was thinking this week and meditating is, maybe it's what I would consider good if I was looking back from eternity and knew everything that God knows. Then would I consider it good? Well, God's going to do what is good for us. And we have all kinds of examples that we can understand this, right? Let's say you're taking your kids to Disneyland tomorrow. And so you decide that they should go to bed tonight. And they should go to bed at their bedtime tonight. And they are kicking and screaming as they go to bed. No, no, I want to stay up later. Maybe there's something on TV or something. And you know that what is going to be best for them is to actually sleep so they're not sick and they can enjoy Disneyland, right? Silly example. But that is what God is doing on an eternal scale, a much larger scale. He sees so much more than we do. He knows what is best for us. And in our little finite minds, we don't often think it's best. But the promise in this passage isn't that God will give us whatever we want. If we just looked at 7 and 8 and we missed the rest of Scripture, we'd say, oh, ask and receive. Cool, I can ask for anything. I can't wait for that $1 million. But we have to look at the whole of Scripture, and one of the guidelines in this passage, and each passage has a different guideline, one of the guidelines here is he will give what is good, what is truly good. Some of your kids may not like vegetables. Make them eat them. You are giving a good gift. They don't think so. Do you see where I'm going with it? How much more will your heavenly Father give you what is truly good? So the other side of that, let me get a little personal here for all of us. That might include trials. That might include difficulties. Because what if those trials and difficulties are what are going to help you through something later in life? Or what if those trials and difficulties are going to build a closeness to God that you would never know outside of them? That is a better good. What if those trials are going to let you come alongside a brother or sister in Christ and help them through another trial and keep them from walking away from the faith? God is going to give what is ultimately good and what ultimately brings him glory. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. But you see the qualifications, every good gift, every perfect gift. Now, the other side of this is our Heavenly Father won't give us a serpent. He won't give us a serpent. So there's times we get a bitter pill in life and we blame God. He won't give us a serpent. Now, our sin sometimes gives us the serpent. Our own not following of God and not following through with his instructions in the word sometimes does that. But our Father will not give us a serpent. And we can rest in that. We can have peace in that. He won't give us something that's harmful in the long run. Sometimes in life, when we get what we want, it destroys us. Maybe that second house that we're praying for would destroy us and become an idol. Maybe the higher paying job would drive us away from family and away from priorities. Maybe for those of you that are seeking a relationship, the relationship you're praying for is the one God doesn't want you to have, and it'll cause you to walk away from God. So if we pray for something that God knows is a serpent, he won't do it. Because our Heavenly Father wants to give us good and perfect gifts. I can remember an example of this. One of our missions trips back long ago when I was a youth pastor, we were going down to, a few of you were on that trip. We were going down to Mexico, and we had a van from another youth pastor that was with us. And we had problems with the van overheating all week. And we were about to come home. And one of the things when you come home, you sit at the border for a couple hours. And that is not great for a van that's overheating. And so we as a group prayed that morning, God, please keep the van from overheating and get us across the border safely. And we get partway through Mexicali. We get to in front of a McDonald's. And the needle is on red and steam is coming out. And we have to stop. And so God did not answer prayer, right? Right? That's what it feels like. That's what it felt like. As youth pastor, I'm like, oh great, I had us take this great step of faith and God let me down. We opened everything up and got water bottles and trying to fill as much water as we can because it was empty. And as we were doing that, we noticed that the fuel line was cracked and leaking a little bit of fuel on the engine. And when we touched it, it just shattered. It crumbled and disintegrated. And so God's no was actually something that quite possibly saved the lives of some of our youth. Because the van had the engine inside and the fuel was there. So we were able to get a new line and fix it. And then we were able to get across the border just fine on the overheating thing. Coincidence. Or maybe God was giving a good gift that we didn't think was a good gift, but he did. See what I'm saying? Your Heavenly Father wants to hear from you. He wants to answer, but those answers will be good gifts, which is why sometimes we don't think he answers. He wants to give you what you ask for, if it's good for you, if it's in his name, if it will truly give real joy, if it's according to his will. Part of this too, though, is like our children, when they come and share their hearts with us, we know that they don't have the bigger picture, right? Your 5-year-old does not have the bigger picture of life. I don't have to convince you of that. But do you want them to share what's on their heart? Yeah. And in the same way, your Father in heaven is not going to get mad if you share something or ask for something that isn't part of his plan and isn't part of your good. As long as we do that with an open heart. He knows we don't know all things. So we come and we submit and we trust. All of this with point one of understanding that Abba wants to hear from us. My prayer is that this makes us not hesitate to take our heart to God. Not hesitate to talk to God. To take our requests to him. Prayer is two-way communication with a person. With our Father. So then we get to point number two, which really dives into does God answer prayer. And point number two is our Father hears and answers our prayers. Our Father hears and answers our prayers. And this is the one I'm like, well, that's the of course statement of the day. But this is where I want scripture to just overwhelm us. Turn to 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15, almost at the end of the New Testament. And we get, I think, a key verse on hearing and understanding, but we'll look at a lot of them. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him. And that word for confidence is boldness. It's, we are sure of this. We are sure, we have confidence toward God that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so the first thing we have in verse 14, that we can be absolutely sure that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. Now, that's a big statement. How do we ask according to his will, according to his heart, according to his plans for his glory and our ultimate good? And that comes by spending time in the word, spending time with him. But we know that if we are right with God and asking rightly according to what is for the good that he knows is good, that he hears us. He hears us. He understands. He listens. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. And so here we have an element of faith coming in that if we know he hears us because it's according to his will, we go to him with that confidence as we're right with him. We know that he will answer. And we know that if it is in accordance to his will, he will grant those requests. That's a strong statement. And yes, it's qualified by according to his will. It's qualified by that faith in him, that trust in him. But God hears and God answers. And so that's sort of the two parts of this point. And I want to just share a bunch of verses with you. God hears us. Know that your Father hears you. Know that he listens. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And we see that if we are righteous, if we are walking with God, if we have confessed sin, if we are in tune with our Lord, he hears us. His ears are open to their prayer. What a blessing. We aren't talking to just a roof or a ceiling if we're walking with God. Now you do have the qualification there that one of the other weeks we'll talk about roadblocks to prayer. But those who do evil, those who are in sin, don't have this confidence. But if we are right with God, we know that he hears. And that's key in understanding, does God answer prayer, or do I recognize his answers to prayer? Proverbs 15:29. Very similar verse. The Lord, or Yahweh, because it's in all caps, is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. And with Proverbs, you have parallelism happening, and this is antithetical parallelism. And so the idea here is God hears the prayer of the righteous, but he's close to them. Far from the wicked, he's near in understanding to the righteous. Go to God because he understands. He listens. Psalm 66:19-20. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. And that word for attended, you have listened, which we understand. Attended means to pay attention to. It's sort of like if you have a child and you can't quite hear him, and you lean down and you go like this, and you're focused intently on what they're saying, that's the word. Isn't that cool? That the God that created the universe focuses and he's intentionally listening. He's attending to my voice. Blessed be God, the psalmist says, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. He hears our distress too. In Revelation 8:4, we used this a couple weeks ago, but dealing with the martyrs and the saints that have gone before and wondering when things will be made right on earth. It said, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. And he hears the prayers of the saints. In this case, their distress, their frustration. God hears us because he's our Father. Think about how amazing this is. The God who created all things, the God who holds all things together in his hand, the God who needs nothing, listens to you and I when we pray. If there's no other reason to pray, that should be enough. That should be enough. This part just blows me away. Why would God listen? How much does he have to love me to listen to me? And he loves me more than that. And he cares more than that. Don't doubt his ear. Even when circumstances, even when the evil one is saying, oh, God's not listening. God can't hear you now. You're all alone in this. Don't doubt God's ear. We could do 20 more verses that say God hears us. God hears and he knows what you're going through. But then the other part of this, as verse 15 says in the First John passage that you have your thumb in, God answers with what is best. Our Father answers with what is best. And listen to these verses. And again, let the weight of them come on you, because I think we're afraid to say God actually answers prayer, because we've misdefined it, as I said. Exodus 32:14, Moses is praying for the people because God has said, they serve idols. I'm going to wipe them out. Ron's paraphrase. Moses goes to God and prays. 40 days, 40 nights, he prays. And this is after he prays, Exodus 32:14. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. It's a simple phrase. And the Lord relented from the disaster. As it appeared to Moses, it appears that God changed his course of action because of Moses' prayer. And he did. And we'll get there how that works out theologically. God changed his course of action because of Moses' prayer. We have verse after verse that talks about God answering prayer. And so we can't deny God answers prayer. Matthew 7, 7 and 11. Out of the passage we looked at for point number one, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. The second half of every phrase is answering prayer. And it's worded in the affirmative, it will happen. Because God gives good gifts. And we talked that through. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Again, any one of these verses we could take out of context and have a great name it and claim it theology, which is heresy, because you have to look at all of these and all of the qualifications. But don't lose sight of the fact that our Father answers prayer. That believing represents a faith and trust in God. John 15:7, wonderful passage on abiding with Christ. And tucked in there, right after it says, stay close to God, abide in Christ, tucked in there is verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Was Jesus lying? No, the answer is no. This is a promise from Jesus. Now, it's qualified in all of these qualifications. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If we are in the word, if we are walking close to Christ, as we gain his heart, our wishes become his wishes. Because his are pressed on us, not that his change. And so we're to renounce independence. We're to renounce self-reliance, and we're to rely on the vine to Jesus and to be in the word. John 16:23 and 24. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. 24 we read earlier. And Jesus again is saying, ask. He will give it to you. Now again, that's when we're abiding and we're asking according to his will and it's for the right motives. We'll talk about all those things in a future week. But God hears and God answers, and that's undeniable in Scripture. Don't rely on your feelings about your situations to make those calls of whether God hears and God answers. God does hear. He does answer. And so we need to be better skilled at looking for what that answer is and realizing that answer may be a different good than what we think, but it's always a better good, always a better answer. Point number three could have been just a subpoint of number two, but I thought it important enough to just highlight it. Since God is the one answering, our prayer as his children is incredibly effective and powerful. Since God is the one answering, our prayer as his children is incredibly effective and powerful. If I answer your prayers, only so much power, only so much effectiveness. You know, maybe it's something, and I'm not saying we shouldn't try to answer to be God's hands and feet, but again, theologically, God is the one answering for our good, for our ultimate good, for his glory. And so that gives power to our prayer. James 5:16-18. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again and heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. And so we see because God is the one answering, great things are happening. He has great power as it's working. Elijah controlled rain for 3.5 years. He didn't. God did. Key idea. Why does God powerfully answer? In John 14:13-14, I think we get a clue here. Jesus is talking again. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so in Jesus' name, as in his authority, in his will, in his wishes, if we ask in his name, God will do it so that he will be glorified. Why does God answer prayer? Ultimately, to increase his glory in our perception of his glory. Ultimately, it's not about what I want. It's about how can God be glorified, which always ties to the greater good for all of us. But often is situations we don't understand. So when we pray, when we ask, God wants us to ask, but be thinking, how will this glorify God? And maybe the answer is different because there's a different way that God receives more glory. We may ask for things that seem so good, but maybe God, for his glory and the greater good, has a different plan. Maybe someone's going to accept the Lord because of that trial, because of what they see you going through in that trial. Yes, maybe it would be good if God took that away, but maybe it would be better if souls were in the kingdom because of it. And so we trust our Abba because he knows. He knows. Point number four answers the question, does God change? And some of you that have studied this, that love the theology of this, this is the struggle, right? Does God change? How do we reconcile his eternal sovereignty and his plans to answer prayer? Because both are true. And so in some ways, we hold two truths that seemingly contradict because the Bible says both are true. And we may not understand it, this side of eternity. I challenge you, we may not understand it the other side of eternity either, because we're not going to become God. We'll be in perfect relationship with him, but sometimes I think that's a misnomer, that when I get to heaven, I'm going to know everything. You're not going to be God then either, but you'll be in perfect communion with him. But we have to take both of these truths, and point number four is God responds to our prayers and as planned, acts accordingly in the world. And the word he is very careful there. God responds to our prayers and as planned, acts accordingly in the world. And acting accordingly in the world means according to our prayers, if we've prayed, if we haven't prayed. And so it looks like he relents and changes his mind, and we see that in Scripture. But in reality, that's been his plan all along. That's been his plan all along because he knows whether we will pray or not. And so I just have a series of questions on this one that are just going to make you ask more questions. We can talk later. Number one, since God answers prayer, does God change? No? Do I hear a no? Everyone's like, I'm scared to answer now. James 1:17. Let's look to Scripture for our answers to these things. Logic isn't going to make sense sometimes with prayer. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, and you get Father language there again, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. How much variation? None. So our God does not change, but he answers prayer. Isn't this cool? Isn't this fun? So next question. But does prayer change the course of events? And the answer is absolutely yes. Some of you are twitching. I can feel it. It's okay. And it's not because God changes his mind, but because he from eternity has ordained prayer to work that way. So he, and this is, let your head hurt a little bit over this. God is above all things. He is over time. He sees all things. He knows all things from the past to the future. So he knows if we're going to pray about a situation or not. And he has already ordained that his actions respond to that prayer. It's not a change. It's what he decided from all eternity. Head hurt a little bit? This is how we have to resolve these passages. In Exodus 32, we already read one of these verses, 11 and 12. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against this people? And he talks about the people and he makes the appeal that why should the Egyptians win? It looks like evil is winning. And then it says, and the Lord relented from the disaster they had spoken of bringing on his people. Prayer changed the course of events. From Moses' perspective, from our perspective, it does look like God is changing his mind. But what we don't understand is that was his plan all along. Moses is going to pray, I'm going to show my glory by answering his prayer. This isn't in the moment saying, oh, that's a great argument. I shouldn't kill him. But all along, God has ordained. Remember one of the things I said at the beginning, God wills the answers to prayer, but he also wills the means. And so God willed that Moses would pray. He knew it would happen, and his plan incorporated that all along. He has ordained and planned the effectiveness of prayer. If my kids ask me for ice cream, sometimes we go for ice cream. I like ice cream. They know that they can usually convince me. If they don't ask for ice cream, I don't take them to ice cream. I might go on my own. They don't know that until now. It's a silly example, but imagine God who knows whether they're going to ask or not and has ordained that if they ask, we'll go. If they don't, we won't. And he's known all along in his plan whether they will or not. And so what we have to understand is God has asked us to pray, commanded us to pray. He has said it changes things. We have to believe him. Just to get real serious with this, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you realize that is a prayer that changes the outcome of events? That if we don't pray that prayer, we end up paying for our own sins. We end up dying for all eternity in hell. But if we confess our sins and come to Christ, he offers forgiveness and he cleanses us and brings us to himself. That is a prayer that changes things. Oh, we're going to run out of time. Next question. So then, are there things that won't happen if I don't pray? Yes. Yes. There are things that won't happen if you don't pray, or may not happen through you if you don't pray. A verse we've already said, I don't know if I have it in the up on the screen. We've mentioned this one a couple times, James 4:2. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. It's a very straightforward phrase in God's word that there are times that we don't, something doesn't happen or we don't have because we don't pray. John 16:24 we've used several times. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. And the implication there is because they haven't asked, they haven't received. The lack of prayer yields no results. One author said this, and I love this quote. When I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't pray, they don't. That's how God works. And so finally, the last question. So then does that mean God's plans can be ruined? Go to scripture again. Job 42:2 says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. God is all powerful. No purpose of his can be destroyed or hindered or ruined. Esther 4:14, I think, gives us a great example of putting this together. As Esther saying, I don't think I want to do this. And Mordecai says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And that's a case where God's ultimate plan, his ultimate goal is still going to be met. But their action in this case is going to decide whether they're part of it or not. Or whether God's going to destroy them, as was promised. And Esther chose wisely. Remember, God not only wills the ends, but also the means. God has ordained that our prayer would be the means that he would bring about the changes in the world. And so we hold these things all in tension. From eternity, God's plan knows when we will and won't pray, and he will answer if we pray and won't if we don't. And that was the plan all along. Finally, in 5 minutes or less, the easiest question. What about unanswered prayer? And this is probably the most personal question for me and for most of you here, because this strikes to the heart of what about the bad things that happen? Life isn't perfect. And so we have to understand that God does answer. It's just not always how we want or expect. Now, sometimes we have hindrances in the way, and we'll talk about those, like I said, where God won't hear or answer. But if we are walking with him, he will answer. He will always answer. But again, we have to define answer as doing his will and doing what is truly good. And so sometimes that answer is yes. Praise God. And he loves to pour his blessings on us. And so sometimes we pray and we see a quick answer to prayer and it's wonderful. Sometimes the answer is yes, but not now. Or wait. Sometimes, you know, when we were young, it was yes, wait, or no. There's so much truth in those things. God is sovereign and all wise. He will answer in his timing. In Galatians 4:4, people are trying to figure out why didn't the Messiah come sooner? And it said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. That God knew the right time for Jesus to come. And those before seemed like they were getting a no, but they were getting a it's coming. And God answered their prayer at the perfect time. But sometimes the answer is no. And God will work in a different way. He knows what is best and will bring about his glory and plan for our ultimate good, even if that's different from what we've asked. I think of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. I encourage you to read that passage this week where Paul is going to God about a thorn in the flesh. And we're not sure what it is. Maybe eyesight, maybe something else. And three times he comes and prays fervently to God, begs God to resolve this, begs God for an answer to prayer. And God says no, because that would not have been for his best good. And he says that, and Paul learns that. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And so God said, no, I have something better. Even though it hurts, I have something better for my glory and your ultimate good. And so Paul's answer, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ might rest upon me. We see Jesus in Gethsemane praying a prayer that got a no answer. Ultimately, this is about trust. So here's how I resolve this. All of the things today come together, and all of the things work together. God wants to hear from us. He listens to us and hears us. He wants to answer, and he will answer, but only for what is for the better good. All those things are promises. So I can take a situation and I can go to God and pray and I can have confidence that he's heard. If I'm right with God, and so confession is first. If I'm right with God, I am confident he has heard. I am confident he wants to give good gifts to his children. So here's where that goes. That means if he answers in a different way, or if from my perspective he doesn't answer, I can take it to the bank that he is working in a greater good than I can see. As much as it hurts, as much as it stinks, I have confidence that God is doing something I don't understand, and that he has heard and he has answered. And understand, you know our situation. We've wrestled with this mightily in the last 3.5 years. Because our prayer was that Susie would be healed and the cancer would be gone. And God has said, no. No. But I'll give you more time. Which isn't exactly what I prayed for. And I've had to wrestle with, does God answer prayer? Wouldn't it be better to get rid of the cancer? But again, we have to look at the bigger picture of God's righteousness and holiness in a fallen world. And he wants what is good for his children. And he is going to use that for some greater good that we don't understand. God has answered our prayer. And I say that firmly and resolutely in front of you, even if it hurts. Think of your situations. God answers your prayer, and you can come and pray confidently, knowing that a wise and good God will give you not necessarily what you ask for, but what is best. And what is best is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. Our God is a good Father, and he wants to hear from us. He listens to us. He does answer, but he answers with truly good things and not serpents. Trust him. And may that knowledge drive you to your knees, not away from your knees. Because the God of the universe hears and answers. Each week on prayer, we're spending some time in prayer at the end as response. And we're praying scripture, trying to help acquaint you with that practice where we read a passage of scripture line by line, and then silently between God, you pray through that passage. And you pray whatever comes to mind as you hear scripture. And so this is scripture guided prayer, which is the best kind, by the way. It's scripture. It's God's word. In this case, Psalm 66 is a prayer. And so just close your eyes, bow your heads. If you want to look at the screen, you can. I'll say the phrases. If you want to hold out your hands in submission to God and offering yourself to God, you can. If you just want to fold them, if you just want to sit there, that's fine. But let's go to God in prayer. Psalm 66. I cried to him with my mouth. What do you need to cry out to God about? And high praise was on my tongue. What can you praise God about? If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. What do you need to confess? But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer. Or removed his steadfast love from me. Lord God, we praise you because you listen and don't reject our prayers, and you actively work to answer them. Lord, you are God and we are not. Help us to trust you. Thank you for not giving us what we ask for sometimes, but rather giving us what is truly good. Thank you, God. In your name.